you understand that the power, the only power, the only thing God has ever promised to bless is His Word. The Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And we've seen that. And I've relished in the fact of the Word spoken by anyone. And that was Luther's hope, that the average plowboy or maid sweeping the floor would know the Word and could preach the Word as well as any well-adorned preacher. I've seen that in this congregation, and I've really seen it with Brian Everett. Brian preached a sermon several years ago, and he was going to preach on baptism. And I was sort of cringing, thinking, man, he's going to make a lot of mess that I'm going to have to clean up. And it was one of the best sermons that I've heard on that subject. He's going to tackle another tough subject together today. So let us tune our hearts, our minds, and our ears to hear the Word of the Lord. Amen.
All right, so today is the sixth Sunday of Easter, which means that not much is going on. You know, next couple weeks, next week we got Ascension, and then we have Pentecost. And then it's just ordinary times. Last Easter was over a month ago. And from now on, not much is happening until we get all the way to Advent. So today we're in John, book of John, John chapter 5. Now the book of John is, of course, one of the Gospels. And it's one of the unique Gospels. The first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are the synoptic Gospels. And it's not because they're almost all the same. But the Gospel of John is almost 90% unique to itself. And the Gospel of John was written with an evangelistic purpose. So as we read the scripture, this is not only for us to know for ourselves, but it's also to show us how to spread the word to others. Now, starting in John chapter 5, as we just heard, we have the third sign of the book, which is the healing at Bethesda. The first two, of course, but the first one was turning water to wine, and the second was the healing of the official son. Now we have a third healing. Who's ever been sick before? Feel good? Anytime you're sick, don't you want to be healed? Anytime I have a flu, the only thing I can think about is I want to not have a flu. Anytime my nose is stuffed up, all I can think about is, man, I wish I could breathe. Anytime I have a sprained ankle, all I can think about is, man, I wish I could walk. And when my ankles aren't sprained, I just sit on the couch all day, but as soon as I sprain it, I think, man, I wish I could walk around. So who wants to be better? Like, who wants to improve? Lots of people here have even like a minor ailment or medical condition right now. And even if you don't, you can always do something to be healthier. You can always be a little bit stronger, a little bit faster, a little bit smarter. Does everybody want to improve? I'm kind of hoping everyone will say no. No one improved me, go home right now. All right, so everyone wants to improve. All right, show of hands. Yes. Now, by another show of hands, who flosses every day? Don't lie, I'll know if you don't. It's the simplest thing you can do to improve yourself every day, just flossing, right? You know, to become stronger, you have to pick up heavy things, work out. Become faster, you have to run. My doctor told me I have to be jogging 20 to 30 minutes a day for my cardiac health. I don't have time for that. But flossing, it just takes 60 seconds. It's like 2 seconds of teeth. You only have 32 teeth tops. Most of you have less than 28. 2 seconds is less than 60 seconds. The average commercial break is over 3 minutes. That means every commercial break you have time to brush and floss. Periodontal disease is directly related to uncontrolled diabetes. Chronic inflammatory state affects arthritis, the immune system, and every organ in the body. Your gum disease directly into endocarditis and heart disease. P. gingivalis has been shown to dislodge arterial plaque and cause heart attacks and strokes. Unlike the rest of the body, the veins in the head have no valves. of these men is the oral cavity back goes directly into the brain. When the VA started handing out toothbrushes, pneumonia dropped over 90%. Because everything you breathe goes through your mouth and causes lung disease. So every aspect of your physical health can be improved by doing one thing that only takes 60 seconds. But when I have people in share and I'm asking them, do they do this? They don't. Everything can improve in 60 seconds, just your physical health. And they say they don't. So I have to ask myself, do you actually want to be healthier? Do you actually want to be made well? This is a question Jesus asked in verse 6. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew he had already been there a long time, he said, do you want to get well? Which seems like a ridiculous question at first. Of course he wants to be well. The man has been there for over 38 years. He's been lying by a pool for a long time. Now we don't know for sure that he's been there at the pool for 38 years. He's been there for 38 years and at the pool for a long time. So you would think, of course he's trying to be well. But the more I think about it, maybe he's been patiently waiting by the pool to be healed. Or maybe he just likes lying by the pool. If this man is healed, he has to get up and start working. He has to go out and get a job and support himself. 38 years is a pretty substantial gap in work history. Resume won't be looking too good. Probably won't get a job anybody wants to. But if he said no to Jesus, he can keep plowing against the house of mercy. Bethesda in Aramaic translates to house of mercy. Can also translate to a place of flowing water. So the house of mercy, Bethesda, is likely how the pool of Bethesda got its name. So almost 40 years of being unwell, staying unwell starts to sound easier, doesn't it? Would sound like a ridiculous question at first, do you want to be made well? Now it's something you actually might want to ponder. I heard a bad joke. The joke goes, you probably heard it too. A blind guy goes to the bar, and he was at Jesus at the bar. So he gets there, he hears Jesus at the bar, he orders a drink for himself, and he tells the bartender, hey, send one to Jesus for me. And a man in a wheelchair is at the bar, he does the same thing, buys his own drink. Sends one to Jesus. And at the end of the bar, there's a guy in a neck brace. He hears people doing this. He's like, yeah, I'll buy Jesus a drink. Sends him down a drink. At the end of the night, Jesus wants to thank all of them. And so he goes over to the blind man, says thank you for the drink, shakes his hand. The man instantly heals. He can see again. And he's praising the Lord. I can see again. My sight has been restored. And he thanks the man in the wheelchair, and the man jumps up. It's like, I can walk again. This is a miracle. Everyone in the bar is cheering. Then Jesus goes to the third guy, and the man recoils and goes, whoa, don't touch me. I'm on disability. Now, I think that's a ridiculous joke for several reasons. One, why would you buy Jesus a drink? Beer costs money, and at most restaurants, water is free, right? So you just get a free glass of tap water. Bring it over to Jesus and go, all right, man, do your thing. As soon as anybody found out Jesus was at a bar, the whole town would start rushing in with buckets of water, right? And it's like, come on, do it. You did it for the wedding party. Turn this all into wine for us. Of course, the restaurant owner would get mad at this client drink sale, so they get one order food. One guy would order fish and chips. Whole restaurant would go out of business. Of course, they don't tell you that story about the 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. Can you imagine the loss in sales at the fish market that day? 5,000 plus people being fed in one day? Of course, it didn't actually affect them too much. They probably made sales right back the very next day. Because if you just give a man a fish, you only fed him for a day. Don't teach a man how to fish. He's a grown man, fish is not that hard. Now, you just cast the net. If you don't get anything, cast it down the right side of the boat and you'll find something there. Now, all these are silly reasons why the joke doesn't make sense. The serious reason the joke doesn't make sense is Jesus asks if you want to be made well. He asks first. Or in most cases, people are chasing him down, asking Jesus, begging him, please heal me. People are always asking first or begging Jesus to be healed first. And Jesus, of course, replies, by your faith you are healed. By your faith you are healed. The man at the bar wasn't going to be healed just by shaking Jesus' hand, unless he wanted to be. A lot of people have touched Jesus and were never healed. They had eyes that saw but could not perceive, and ears that heard the message but did not understand the message. You can think of very prominent times when lots of people made contact with Jesus and were not healed. There's one story, it's in all three of the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew 9, Mark 5, and Luke chapter 8. This is the account of a bleeding woman who reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' robe. Now, if you don't remember this story, Jesus is trying to make his way through the street, and there's a massive crowd of people following him and pressing against him. And in two of the accounts, it's described as a crushing pressure. This is how much everyone's pressed against Jesus. And one person said, if I could just touch the hem of his robe, I'll be healed. And she reached out and left the crowd just to grab a little bit of his hem. And Jesus said, who touched me? You remember this? He said, who touched me? And his disciples said, how can you ask who touched you? There's 12 people surrounding each person. We're being crushed. Everyone is touching everyone. How can you ask who touched me? But he said, I felt the power go out. Everybody around him was contacting Jesus, saw him, heard his message, touching him. But out of all those, only one person was healed. And it was the person who asked. And she didn't ask ahead of time, but she asked in her heart, and she had faith that if I do this, I will be healed. She asked in her heart and her faith. So, if you want to be healed, just ask. If you want forgiveness, you have to ask. If you want salvation, you ask. Now, there's nothing else you can do for it. You can't buy it. You can't barter for it. You can't plead for it. You can't say, hey, I did this stack of good deeds. Can I have forgiveness now? There's nothing you can do for it. Because there's nothing you can do for it. There's no way to earn it. It is simply given with love. And the only thing you need to do for forgiveness, for healing, for salvation, is simply ask. Now, when you ask, what are you going to be asking for? You're going to say, hey, I confess I stole this one thing. Can I have forgiveness for this? You can't. You can't. And Jesus will say, yes, you're forgiven for that. But then you've got everything else you've done going against you. You can say, make out a checklist, try five worst things you did. I was like, hey, I stole this, had adultery, didn't keep the Sabbath. Can I have forgiveness for this? But then yes, forgiven for those two things. But what am I going to ask for? When I get up there, I'm going to read the whole law of Moses and then say, and I'm pretty sure there's 10,000 more things I haven't even thought of. Please forgive me of everything. No matter what, just say, I have committed everything. I need healing of everything. Now, have I? Well, no. Right off the top of my head, I can think of a couple of the big sins I still haven't committed yet. But hey, I'm still young. Give me time. I'll get around. I've been really busy with my schoolwork. One of these days, I'll get around to committing those sins. And then when I say I've committed everything, heal me of everything, it'll be accurate. And as we read through Matthew, even if you've never murdered someone, it says if you've ever called someone fool, some say fool, my translation is moron, in your heart. You've already killed them in your heart. So whether or not you've actually committed a sin in the flesh, most people already committed it in their hearts. So just say everything. Matthew 7, it says, keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep searching and you will find it. Keep knocking and the door will be open for you. So if Jesus asks you when we make well, answer is yes. More importantly, go and seek and say, I want to be made well. Now, one question in my mind is, why would Jesus not be healing every person? That's the other question in chapter 6. It says, do you want to be made well? Why did he ask first? Why didn't he just heal everyone? Or, in more cases than that, as he's walking through the streets, why is he not healing every single person? Why is it so often that only those who chase after, seek after, go after Christ, why are they the ones who are getting the healing? Well, what would happen if they were healed before they asked? What happens if something is taken away before it's ready to be taken away? In Matthew 12, there's another version and one of the other synoptic gospels. In 43, when an unclean spirit comes out of a man, it roams through waterless places looking for rest, but does not find any. Then it says, I'll go back to my house, and returning, it finds the house vacant, swept, and put in order. Then off it goes and brings with it seven other spirits, more evil than itself, and they enter and settle down. As a result, the man's condition is worse than the first. Anything can be put into an empty vessel, can it? If you have a bucket and you empty it, what goes back in the bucket? Anything. Anything can be put back in there. If anything is taken out, if you have an empty vessel, anything can be put back in its place. Now, I want to put a disclaimer out before I continue on. This disclaimer is, first of all, a lot of this isn't meant for anybody here. So if you get upset with anything that's about to come, that's your own guilty conscience. Most of this is meant to be heard by people outside you. This is for you to learn to spread outside. As we already said in the beginning, John is had evangelistic purposes, so it's not only for us to know for ourselves to continue to make ourselves better in Christ, but we have to spread this message outside these walls. Because 90% of what is said here doesn't have to be heard by you, because you're already here. You're already made well. You're already baptized by water and the Spirit. Christ is already in your life. And this, not everything said here is meant for you. It's meant for somebody else. And so it's your job to not learn this for yourself, but learn this because you have to take this message to somebody else. Because there's going to be somebody in your life that has to hear this. Whether it's a coworker, a family member, a neighbor, an acquaintance you meet, you will be at this point in life where you remember this and you will have to spread this message. Because I'm not going to see everyone you see. See, there's 50 people here. I'm only going to see 20 people in the course of the week. But if I preach this to 50 people and they see 20 people each, that's 1,000 people. Whereas before, I could only reach 20. So I'm going to tell you the moral of the story before I tell you the actual story. The moral is anything can be put into an empty vessel. When something is taken out, it has to be filled with the Spirit of God, or else, as we've read, seven more demons will come and take over. So the reason why not everyone is being made well right now is because they have to be ready for as soon as that demon is taken out, spirits come in, or else seven more demons will take over. Now, the true application of this is a new man in Blacksburg. And he was not a good person. He was just a bad person. And he also just happened to be an alcoholic. And that's not the reason why he was bad. He was bad for several reasons. Mostly his beliefs, his lack of beliefs, his actions, his hatreds. A lot of bigoted hatred is what just made him a bad person. And he just happened to also have a drinking problem. And it was getting to the point where it was going to kill him. You know, his poison. You know, you can call it what you want, but alcohol is poison. In moderation, you know, it doesn't hurt us, it just makes us feel good and pleasant, but too much is bad. And so he realized this was going to kill him, and he decided to get clean, become 100% sober. And still, spirit is literally a spirit in English, and it was bad for him. He was going to cast this bad spirit out of his life. He literally cast the spirit out of his life. It's good for him. But as you've already heard in Matthew 12, what happens when you cast an unclean spirit without bringing the Spirit of God into your life, you already can guess what's going to happen to him. If you've never seen detox, it's pretty ugly. It's really bad. You don't want to be around it. Most people here have at least a little experience with withdrawal, whether it's, you know, you drink coffee every day and you got a little caffeine headache, you don't have coffee once, or you at least know somebody who uses tobacco and they get grouchy if it's been 3 hours, and you've experienced this, but this is a whole other scale. The whole body is convulsing, have tremors, he's like freezing and sweating at the same time, he's shaking. And to try to stop the shaking, because he couldn't even hold a pencil, he thought, oh, I heard something else can calm my nerves, I'm going to try weed. And he tried that, and then he tried pills, and he tried prescription, and another pill, and another pill. Next thing you know, whereas before he just was drinking, now he's using marijuana, opiates, benzodiazepine, and when he became a full-blown addict, he went and relapsed on the alcohol again. So as before, he had the one spirit, and he cast that out without being ready to be healed. He now has four more coming back into his life, and he's worse off. Now, he flunked out of James Deck, obviously. He got fired from his job, evicted from his apartment. Haven't seen him in years. For all I know, he could be dead. Now you remember that for the next time you're ever at an intervention or you ever know someone who doesn't have Christ in their life. You have to make sure they are ready for God to heal them and come into their life. The very first step of like the 12th step is, of course, everyone knows, we admit we're powerless and we cannot manage this on our own. And the second step, ask Google to share what the other 11 steps are because no one can remember them all. But if you go and look them up, which I did, the very second is came to believe a power greater than ourselves could restore us. And then the next 5 steps are how to pray for God. And it's not until step 7 that we humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. So it takes 6 steps before you can even ask God to be made well, for the Spirit of God to come into your life and stop these unclean spirits from coming through. That's why you have to ask. And that's why Jesus will patiently wait until you're ready. Now again, I don't think this directly applies to anyone here, because you're already here. Jesus is already working in your lives. You're already full of the Spirit. But it is important to have an open, unjudgmental, and loving understanding of everyone who's not here, so that when you go and preach to them, you know how. Because so many people here, they don't even remember their first steps as a Christian. If you were born into this faith, like a toddler who can't remember when he went from crawling to walking, and is now 30 years later, a lot of people can't remember when they first went from crawling to walking with Christ, and now you're already running a good race. So this is good to remember to bring to those. Now, I started by asking a simple question. Do you want to be made well? Seemed like a simple question, but for the sake of fully informed decision making, I have given reasons not to be. And I truly hope I have convinced no one to stay sick. Yes, it might be easier, simpler, Doing nothing is always often easier and simpler thing to do. Whether it's improving your own life or protesting a social injustice you see or witness, doing nothing is the easiest way to embark the problem. But as Christians, because we have been entrusted enough, much is expected of us. And we have been called to act, not only to act for ourselves, but to act for the world. Help heal the world the way you have been healed. Show God's love the way you have been loved. And remember that you are never alone. As the body of Christ, we will continue to heal and love together. Amen.
Part of the healing process for a good physician often is medication. But the medication is not a good idea. The medication is not simply something you have to buy. The medication is something that you have to take within you. In the same way Jesus said in John 6, I am the life-giving bread. I am that bread that came down from heaven. I am the river of life. But we must receive. And you simply ask by willingness to be filled with His healing presence.
So join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We lift our hearts in praise to you, God of glory, because in every time and place, you have shown yourself to your people and revealed your purpose to dwell with them always. In the wilderness, you made your place of dwelling into tabernacles. In Jerusalem, the temple became a theater of encounter with you. In Jesus, your Son, you came among us, making your home in human flesh. In his death, he faced the consequences of our sin. And in his resurrection, he made possible an everlasting home for us at your right hand. You have prepared for us a holy city of heavenly life, where we will dwell with you forever. So with angels and archangels, we join the praises sung forevermore in that eternal city.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest.
Lord God Almighty, from your throne flows the rivers of life. Feed us from that river. Your tree of life bears fruit for the healing of the nations. Nourish your church in this sacred meal, that the bread and wine we receive may be poured out through us as life abundant. By the power of your Holy Spirit, make your church a healing balm in places of suffering and sorrow. Sanctify this bread and cup, that they may be for us the body and blood of your Son, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread and gave it to them, saying, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Revealing God, whose radiance is all holiness, make your face to shine upon us that we may be saved. Look with mercy upon those who turn to you in hope, and long for peace the world cannot give. Hold in your light of compassion every troubled heart that waits for the dawn of your one eternal day. Shine with the fullness of your love into every fear-filled soul, and make yourself known to all who long to see your face, until that hour when night is no more, and there is no need of lamp or sun, when you will be our light, and when in your eternal radiance you shall reign forever and ever, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is the Lord's table. This is the gift of the Lord. We invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come to this table of healing. We practice by intention. You take the bread, you dip it into the cup. It's your saying, I want to be made whole. Katie will be over at the corner here. If you need special prayer for a need, a concern, for someone else or for yourself, the communion rails will be open as well for individual prayer. Let's make this a time of saying yes to our Father and His Son.